We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Yes, my friends, you are listening to this on the 26th day of May, 2013. And you're going to hear a best of encore presentation. Yes, I'm taping this on Friday evening here in Austin, Texas. But we, because I'll be listening as well, and you, all of us together, are listening on this Sunday edition, the day before Memorial Day. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm going to hit a few pieces of news right now. And then after the break, we are going to air in its entirety. I still haven't aired all of this on radio yet. The Mike Judge exclusive interview. Really slash documentary that we shot a few weeks ago that aired earlier in the week. And if you're a radio listener, you can go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I'm going to ask the guys on Sunday to repost it to the front page because the video is even that much stronger. So that's going to premiere in full because some of it hasn't aired yet coming up in this hour. And then we're going to re-air the John B. Wells interview that I thought was really informative, or some clips of it, and some more stuff. And plus, we're going to premiere a special report on what's happening with Monsanto and more that Leanne McAdoo did at the start of the next hour. So that is what is coming up today on this Sunday worldwide transmission. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Here's a story I barely mentioned on Friday. I want to spend a little bit more time on right now. It's out of Market Watch, Wall Street Journal. And it's scary. Bernanke out by August. QE, or quantitative easing, ends, rates up, and then a crash. Prepare now because easy money will dry up. The Dr. Boom scenario, America is about to unleash a spending spree. Years of self-denial give way to pent-up demand, predicts UBS economist Mari Harris in USA Today's bold lead story. His clue? Consumer sentiment. Harris estimates that in the next 5 years, catch-up consumption will boost annual consumer spending growth by a half a point to above 3% from about 2%. Reassuring? No. Wishful thinking. Be very skeptical. As Robert Kuttner, author of The New Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity versus Prosperity, once wrote in Business Week, what do you call an economist with a prediction? Wrong. Well, here's what I know, ladies and gentlemen. Then it goes into more detail. If they quit QE, it will stall the economy. If they continue QE, it will cause inflation, which is already happening. And either way, we're in deep trouble because we live in a fiat, fraudulent economy. And that's the fact. And no spending spree is what Obama's new Fed chair has to raise rates. And then they go on to predict that the next Fed chairman will cut rates because they like to signify a change with somebody new, and they think QE's gone too far. I don't know, but we are, as they say, damned if we do, damned if we don't, because we are in the clutches of these people. Some other good news that's come out, the head of Fox News, Roger Ailes, has come out and basically said in an open letter to his employees that the White House is criminal, trying to intimidate the First Amendment. Everyone should rally against it, stand against it. I agree. Appeasing tyranny is what has gotten us to this place. And I don't have any illusions or romanticize the News Corps or cutthroats. But in this new world order, so many of the other big fat cats are going to be gobbled up in the process of playing ball. Playing ball with tyranny is something everyone does at their peril. Yes, managed, consolidated, crony capitalist economies are good for some insiders. But over time, they destroy the entire system on which they're built and even destroy the monopoly men's grandchildren, generally. The progenitors are usually long dead by the time things collapse. But now we're in a hyper-accelerated global market society. And so things that happened over 100 years are now happening in decades or even in years. And if you believe the singularity will start happening in months and then weeks and then days and then hours and then minutes. And believe me, the people running things are men and women just like us. They are not infallible, and they should realize that their arrogance, their chutzpah, their bravado, their false aplomb will be their undoing and ours as well. It's Sunday, the 26th day of May 2013. I'm Alex Jones, and the transmission continues straight ahead with the one, the only, Mike Judge, creator of King of the Hill, and so much more. I'm Alex Jones.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday, the 26th day of May, 2013. I am your host, Alex Jones, and I run InfoWars.com, one of the largest alternative media sites in the world that is extincting the dinosaur kleptocrat Decepticon media. Thank you for joining us. And the Decepticon media is going to engage in more and more deceptions. That's why I call them the Decepticon media. They're going to lie. They had MSNBC last week run multiple reports saying that I believe no one was killed at the Boston Marathon or at Sandy Hook, which I never said. I said that there's a lot of evidence it could have been provocateured or staged. Rachel Maddow went on to say that I claim aliens in the form of wasp live underneath the UN building. And she didn't say she was joking. And that I said Obama sent the tornado. I didn't say that. I said there are weather weapons, there is geoengineering, but I didn't think that's what happened there when a caller asked me. So remember, when you hear the corporate media, the prostitutes for the globalists, the people that would sell their family out for a stick of bubble gum, people like Chris Matthews, when you hear these people saying stuff about us, you better understand it's always twisted or a lie. Just throwing that out, it discredits them. And look, keep lying. Keep bringing it on. I tell the truth, or I die trying. Listen, I interviewed Mike Judge for my syndicated radio show earlier in the week, and it also is really a video documentary. My crew did a great job. It's up on InfoWars.com. If you're a radio listener and want to see the added dimension of the video clips and the graphics and stuff, it's up on InfoWars.com on the front page right now. But here for radio listeners is the audio, which has its own dimension. Actually, I don't know what's better. Choose your comedy here. With Mike Judge, the icon that, of course, created Office Space, and now they're kind of bringing Office Space back with a weekly HBO, kind of based on that, but in more modern times in Silicon Valley. He, of course, did Extract, Idiocracy, Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill. And he's been a listener for, I don't know, 17 years, and I've talked to him over the phone and stuff over the years, but never met him in person. We've been hanging out quite a bit and going to hear rockabilly bands in town, and he said, hey, yeah, let's do the interview. So we did it in his home. He opens up like never before. He says Bowling for Columbine made him pro-gun. Talks about how he kind of went from being liberal to more of a libertarian. It's an in-depth interview, and it covers the entire waterfront. And then in the second hour today, we'll get into a whole host of issues, the Obama scandals, the IRS persecution of the free press, the Benghazi cover-up, and so much more with John B. Wells, weekend host of Coast to Coast AM. Just an amazing brain. He's going to be joining us in the second hour. But here it is, ladies and gentlemen. You want it, you got it. Mike Judge joins the InfoWar.
Harvard researchers have found children who live in high fluoride areas have significantly lower IQs.
Enjoy your extra big-ass fries.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Researchers found members of Congress, on average, speak at a 10th grade level. Most Americans read at an 8th or 9th grade level.
Look, now I'll talk slow so as you can understand me.
It was just a few thousand years ago that our ancestors were using primitive grunts to communicate.
Internal investigation that shows the agency targeted the Tea Party and conservative groups.
That does scare me. I think I'm just going to make sure to not use the words Tea Party or Constitution in any of my work.
All right, who are you? CIA, FBI, ATF?
While gun ownership is at an all-time high, crime is down.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns.
Fidel Castro took the guns.
Nominee.
Hugo Chavez took the guns.
And if you try to take our guns,
1776 will commence again. If you try to take our firearms.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com. Yeah.
My judge, what is the secret of the universe?
The secret of the universe? Damn.
It's a good one to start with. Breakfast tacos.
Well, I'm counting 37 health violations.
I don't have an answer. I'd wanted to go into comedy for a long time, like sketch comedy and stuff, because I always did imitations and things like that. But anytime I'd try to pair up with someone, because you need other people to do that. You can't do that by yourself. And I had a friend in high school, just like brilliant, like funny guy. And I'd go, okay, just do that imitation of James Sanchez that you do. And we'll do, and he's like, oh, but no one knows who he is. And I was like, it doesn't matter. It's funny, you know? And so, yeah, I was trying to do stuff that would just like make my friends laugh, making my, like my brother laugh, my friend, that kind of stuff is how I was thinking of it. And I always had a hunch that that would work. And then,
do you think you influenced South Park?
I think so. I mean, Trey and Matt have said that, and they've been really nice about that. I mean, I think that's just genius, all the stuff they do, you know.
Stupid Toilet Safety Administration.
Shoes off, belts off, sharp objects go in the plastic tray. This is inhumane. Shut up, sir.
I wanted to do animation since I was a little kid. I mean, I didn't think of it as a career so much as just something, because that wasn't ever described as, I mean, my mom especially, it was all about, you know, science. That's where it's at. I was kind of good at math and science, so. But animation was my burning desire. I actually kind of hit a fork in the road when I was, I don't remember how old I was. I'd saved up money from a summer job, and I had a paper out, and I was going to either buy a 16-millimeter camera that's single-framed, or I was going to buy, then I decided, okay, I could buy a bass, an electric bass. And then I started looking at the price of film and was like, you know what, that's just not possible. And the bass was going to give me a social life if I could be in a band or something, so. Dun, 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 dun. Then I didn't start doing animation until I was like 26, really, so. And when I just got the idea to do animation, which I'd wanted to do, but I never thought of doing as a way to get into comedy, then I thought, well, this is great. I can do this all myself. I don't need to, you know, convince a bunch of people to get in front of a camera and do this and that. I can just do the whole thing on my own, so.
I work for a living, and I mean real work, not writing down gobbledygook.
I have a hard time saying I'm either a Democrat or a Republican. It just doesn't feel good. I was definitely raised, my parents were very liberal. Then, I don't know, certain things started to, you know, I mean, for a lot of people, that's kind of almost a religion to them. And right-wing stuff is too, you know. So I try to not be part of any of that. I suppose I've become interested in, you know, smaller government kind of thinking. That sort of happens when, you know, I think you know, when you build your own thing, when you do your own thing, and then suddenly you're getting penalized left and right. You know, that kind of can change you.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
I don't ever want to be one of those people that uses my whatever fame or whatever level of that notoriety I have from what I do in comedy to try to go into politics. I don't feel like I'm qualified. It kind of bugs me when people in Hollywood will use that, you know, their audience that they've gained through that to try to put out a political message, and they have no idea what they're talking about. King of the Hill, Hank was definitely, you know, I saw as sort of a, I don't know, like populist kind of, like, you know, a guy who's like just trying to do his thing, and just all these government and all these other weird things of the modern world. That was always the fun of it, is just all these things just kind of poking at him, you know?
I live in the real world where men sell propane and propane accessories.
You're listening to the Sunday edition of The Alex Jones Show, and I'll be right back with more of this exclusive Mike Judge interview.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hello, me.
I remember popping in a VHS when Alex Jones was on cable access. It was you and two other guys, and somewhere I can't find it anymore. But I think I labeled the tape Three Dales. You were kind of the more rational one, and then the other two guys were just like, I don't know. I wish I could find that tape. But King of the Hill started with a drawing of the four guys that I'd done. I was kind of like dabbling in doing panel cartoons, which I never really did at all. I went straight into animation. I didn't draw comic books or anything. And so I had the four guys, and Dale, I just, something about the way he looked. Originally, I had his hat say Smith & Wesson, the first drawing I ever did. I just put that on there. I don't know why, just the way he looked. And I'd done a first draft of the pilot, and then Greg Daniels got involved. And at some point, you know, we had this thing where his wife is, you know, getting it on with this Native American healer. And clearly his kid's not his. But so we had this idea about that he's just, you know, it's almost probably a subconscious thing. He's like, he's into every conspiracy except the one that's going on in his own house.
Nice work, John Redcorn. She didn't suspect a thing.
It's almost like his escape, you know, or something. I mean, if I never psychoanalyzed it that much, but that I kind of feel like that's what that character was about. So he was almost like looking for conspiracies, you know, kind of. And some of them might have something to him. Some of them are crazy.
I have read a book. Now, who do you believe, me or Hank?
I know Hank more believable.
Dale is kind of one of the ones that, you know, probably gives you guys a bad name. Johnny Hardwick, who does the voice, I don't know, you may even know him. He had a few, like, he had a few kooky theories of his own, and sometimes we would work those in. I mean, there's one line he said that he's talking about something, and it ended with him saying something that they're doing, and corn is next.
A French study that was just released finds rats that are fed genetically engineered corn suffered from tumors and severe organ damage.
This is the first study that's looking at the effects on rats of eating genetically modified foods over their lifetimes. They gave the rats the genetically modified corn. They gave them the genetically modified corn with the herbicide that the corn is used with.
On Dale, I had to do some convincing to get them to let Johnny Hardwick do the voice. I mean, he wasn't anybody famous at all. He was one of the people we hired as a writer. But it just sounded right to me. Ended up being my favorite character, really, on the show as far as, well, just for a while, you know, as far as the voice and the drawing clicking. But, I mean, they had all kinds of celebrities they were pitching. It hardly ever works when you just get, like, oh, let's get this famous person and this person to draw it, and then you have something that just doesn't make sense, which is why a lot of shows fail.
Squirrel tactic!
Okay, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which definitely influenced a lot of what I do, because Beavis and Butthead, to me, is kind of set in a sort of like eastern New Mexico, West Texas type environment, you know, where everything is just sort of, people are bored, teenagers are bored, and there's like, it's nothing to do, it's hot, it's kind of a recipe for disaster. And so that was definitely an influence on Beavis and Butthead. Although, you know, I don't think I've ever told this story, but so my grandfather on my mom's side lived with us, and he died when I was, I think, in junior high, and like 76, whatever. And he, we found out he had a 16-millimeter Bolex camera that was there, and I was like, wow, okay, there's a camera in this house. And so I waited like a good 2 or 3 months before I, you know, after he passed away, to say, hey, could I borrow Granddad's camera maybe? And she said, no. And then, like, I waited another 6 months, and no. Waited, like, a year, no. So I thought, well, okay, maybe I'm just going to buy one. And then I looked into how much they cost and just couldn't pull it together. Years later, when I was, like 26, and I got the idea again to try doing animation, I ended up buying the same exact camera because it turns out that's the perfect camera to single frame and shoot animation on. And finished my first animated short, first couple, ended up getting them on like Comedy Central and stuff. Sent a tape to my mom, and she said, oh, that's interesting. You know, you probably don't remember. Your grandfather had a Bolex camera. I'll see if I can find it. I was like, no, I remember. I was like drooling over the idea of just being able to get my hands on it, you know, but it all worked out. But yeah, it was kind of, in a way, it was probably good because it kind of, by the time I was able to actually do it, I was just, it had been a fantasy. It sounds weird, but it was like a fantasy of mine for so long to do animation. And so when I finally did, I mean, I really, I didn't take it for granted when I had the opportunity to do it. So probably was a good thing, actually.
Y'all got that in there? Large fries, pie, large coffee?
Like Beavis and Butthead, I'll get asked a lot if that's based on anybody specific, and it's not. It's not like that was that person, that was that person. It's just started out as drawings, and then, but definitely, like, there's little bits and pieces from all kinds of people in there, you know.
Well, I was like that when I was
a lot of us were, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of his, like, me and my brother, but not, I mean, we weren't, you know, we got good grades, and we were, but some of these people are really intelligent, too. There was a guy who's now, he's now a professor, I won't say his name, but he's one of these guys, like, I would see him in the hallway. I think this is, the laugh, I don't even know, the laugh came from, I had just written down ha 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 on kind of on the, it started out as a storyboard. It was the first time I'd animated something where usually I would start with the voice and then do the drawing. This one I started with a drawing and I didn't know what they would sound like. And I just drawn ha 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 on there. Years later, I realized there's a Mimi Pond cartoon that, and I've become friends with her on Facebook now, but she, where she had a guy going, a weirdo on a bus doing that. And I think that might have been in the back of my head. But I started doing that laugh, and I was kind of like going, like, this is reminding me of something. Didn't think about it till probably 2 years into the show that it was, there was a guy at my high school who would just, he was really smart, stoned all the time, but he would just, you'd see him in the hallway, and I would always see him when the hallway was empty, and he'd just start, like, he's one of these guys that he'd start going, hey, Mike. He just always had this laugh. It was different than Butthead laugh, but it was that thing of just kind of, how's it going? And so when I would do the voice, I would just kind of do the, and I would be doing it sort of to get into character, to get the voice sounding right. And then I'd go, well, that kind of sounds funny that he's just laughing all the time anyway. And then I realized later it was probably in the back of my head because of this guy who used to just kind of talk like that. But there's a lot of that, little bits and pieces of people.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
There was the Beavis laugh. There was a guy who was actually in calculus class, and he was a really smart guy. He's now a nuclear engineer. Hope he doesn't figure out who he is that I'm talking about him. But he kind of was always like, we had a hot teacher, which was unheard of back then. She was a former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. Anyway, he would get really excited, and he was biting his lip all the time and just kind of going like, like laughing at everything she said. So I started out Beavis doing the spastic laugh like that. And then around season two, I started getting like where, I don't even know if I can do it now. I'd get into the higher register. I'd get into this like kind of higher register of like where he's like kind of going, I have to warm up to it, but I started out with that laugh, and then I just kind of made his voice sound like the laugh, just like raspy, you know. The animated shows that have really taken off are when somebody, it's usually the person who's animating it doing the voice, which is, other than The Simpsons, but I mean, The Simpsons, the voices and the characters just match. They're really well done. But like, you know, you look at like Family Guy or South Park or Ren and Stimpy, it's like, you know, somewhere in those guys' heads, it's like it makes sense. That voice, those voices sound like they come out of those characters. And I think that clicks on Beavis and Butthead too, especially. Now I'd say Beavis and Butthead probably. That's probably the thing I'm most proud of. I think probably the best thing I've done. There were moments of making Office Space where I thought this is like the what I was born to do, but then I think it's probably Beavis and Butthead. I mean, King of the Hill probably overall is like a good, more less spotty, like just, you know, good quality, consistent. You know, I grew up very liberal parents, like thinking gun control is the way to go. You know, it's that Michael Moore movie, those Bowling for Columbine, kind of actually made me go the other, made me think like, I mean, he's not trying to, that's not the effect he wanted, I don't think, but he's like kind of, that movie kind of makes you think, no, gun control is a bad idea. I mean, to me, if you look at it, like, I don't think that's what he's trying to do at all, but like, he mentions Canada in there, and he says, you know, there's lower crime there, and same people own guns, and I don't know. I own guns. I think if you look at it statistically, you actually are safer. I know this because, okay, so 1993, Beavis and Butthead, the series, came out, and gun crimes have gone down since since Beavis and Butthead came out. What's interesting is that nobody talks about, no one wants statistics. I actually took graduate probability and statistics classes. That was what, I was going to become a math teacher before all this Beavis stuff happened. But when I was getting blamed for all this, like, downfall of youth, that whole time, crime was going down in almost every category from the time. I mean, if you really wanted to make a correlation, you could say Beavis and Butthead is saving the world. But that's stupid. That really doesn't make any sense. But it makes more sense than saying this particular thing happened and this particular thing happened. You know, but really, like, statistically, there's no correlation.
All right, who are you? CIA, FBI, ATF?
Yeah, there's that map where it's just like almost county by county where gun control, it's not doing any good. It's like there's higher crime rates where there's gun control, lower where there isn't. I mean, it's just like county by county. I mean, you can't, I think because I have this science background, you look at that and you go, you know, that's, it's kind of ridiculous. As much as, you know, those bumper stickers might have been run into the ground, I mean, it's true. It's like, I would be all for it if it was effective, but I haven't seen anything that shows it's effective, you know?
Well, Mao said political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. What does Hank Hill say about about disarming people?
It is the right of all Americans, as Cotton has taught me, to own a gun, even though I'm not so good at shooting them.
A Japanese machine gun blew my shins off in WW2.
I loved it. It was good to see somebody yelling at Piers Morgan.
Accuse me of attacking the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
I want to get people off pills that the insert says will make you commit suicide and kill people.
Alex, let's get them to the Second Amendment.
I want to blame the real culprit.
Alex.
Suicide pills.
Alex.
Mass murder pills.
Okay, let me ask you one question.
It was interesting, though, the way it seemed to be spun on all these websites. There's all these websites now that have a bunch of hipsters on them who will just kind of play a clip and grin and chuckle about it. And that's how I saw it. I can't remember what it was on. I was thinking, hey, right on, Alex, go for it. Well, and everything you were saying was true, too. I mean, the clip that I saw.
Hitler, you were talking about.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel. And if you try to take our guns, 1776 will commence again.
If you try to take our firearms, doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
Something like that. I used to do you really well. I can't, like, it was the... what was the water filter commercial you used to do? Or it's been a while. You think I'd have it down now, though. I was just, like, hanging out with you last night.
Look at these headlines. IRS targeted Tea Party groups for scrutiny. Searching words like patriot, Tea Party.
That does scare me. I think I'm just going to make sure to not use the words Tea Party or Constitution in any of my work.
That's pretty evil.
I won't. they're calling it the constitutional restrictions or whatever they referred to it as. Yeah, no, that was that actually is scary. That that's going to make me listen to some more Alex Jones. Well, if I was to get heavy and deep on it, I think the one thing that's made me tick or makes me, I mean, other than just wanting to try to be funny, it tends to be, I don't overanalyze, but then, you know, when you do this long enough, you do analyze. I think what it is probably, I think a lot of us are just kind of out of sync with the way the world is right now, you know, like the way the modern world, we're not prepared for it all the time, and there's a lot of stuff that's messed up about it, and I think that's where a lot of my comedy comes from. It's like things that you know, anything from being stuck in a cubicle to being stuck in classrooms that you don't belong in, those kind of things. I think that I get a lot of material out of that.
I gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
When I started doing animation, I wasn't trying to get rich. I wasn't trying to get, I mean, it did not seem like I could get rich off that. I thought, I really just, it's just like a desire to just express something that's hard to describe. And if I could describe it, I would probably be more of just a flat out writer or something like that. And so a lot of the stuff is like, you know, it's always very hard to describe Beavis and Butthead to people who just ask if they haven't seen it. I never set out to say I'm going to be a satirist, but that's definitely what, I mean, I've always, the very first thing I animated was the cartoon called Office Space. It was before Dilbert, and it was like Milton at his cubicle and the boss, and I wanted to do just a series of office characters because, you know, when I grew up, it was a little, like, I'm 50, so, like, an office job was considered a good job. Like, it's like, oh, good, you don't have to work construction, okay? And then when I first got in an office, I had a temp job before I was an engineer, and I was just, like, going, God, this is torture. I mean, there's a woman answering the phone the same way next to me all day long. I'm alphabetizing in my sleep. I'm just like...
Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment. Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment.
And then that kind of sick feeling of like, oh, all these years of thinking this is a good job and this is what it is. Oh, my God, what's going to happen to me, you know?
We shall return after these quick messages with a conclusion of the exclusive Mike Judge Joins the InfoWar interview. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. More of the exclusive Mike Judge interview.
Next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and...
Especially back then, when I started out, a lot of what Hollywood was putting out just was really not in touch with the way most Americans feel. It was very, like, coming from... I mean, most people in Hollywood, honestly, that I mean, still are, like, from pretty wealthy families, usually, and don't seem to have ever had to really... you know, come up from the bottom and struggle. I think it's still that way. I think a lot of it was like when I started doing this stuff, you know, about cubicle life was like just to kind of say, hey, has anyone else felt like this when they're stuck in a cubicle, you know? And has anyone else noticed that sometimes teenagers look really deranged and stupid? You know, it's that kind of thing of like wanting to kind of point something out that maybe no one else has pointed out. That's a lot of it, I think. When I did that first Office Space cartoon, which was just a 2-minute homemade crappy little short, I mailed out VHS tapes of that, just called information, and I got so many calls, and I think a lot of people saw it as something very fresh and different, you know?
I used to have my own stapler, too, and then when I moved back, they made me give back my stapler. But Bill told me I'm supposed to have a stapler, so until I'm told different, I'm just going to take a stapler. And if they make me give it back, I'll set the building on fire.
Oh, hello, Milton. What's happening? I'm going to need you to go ahead and move your desk again. So, if you could go ahead and just get it as far back into that corner as possible, that'd be terrific.
So, Idiocracy, I had the idea for it. Actually, when I was writing the Beavis and Butthead movie, it was just kind of the seed of the idea. When I was thinking about just the way evolution works and thinking like, well, wait, there's no predators now. So it started with that. But then I was actually in line with my daughters. I think it was in 2001 at Disneyland at the Teacups ride. And it was in the summer, and my daughters were little at the time. And along comes a woman, like, there's a woman behind me who had an altercation with this other woman, and they both have their kids in strollers, and they just start going off. Kick your ass. And I'm like, my kids, and like thinking, this isn't what Disney had in mind here. You know, and this was in 2001, so it was the summer right before September 11th. So I was also thinking, you know, what if the movie 2001, instead of being this, you know, the monolith and everything being pristine and advanced, what if it was like the Jerry Springer Show and giant Walmarts? What if that had been that movie 2001? So I kind of was thinking, like, just take that chart from when that was made to now and project it out and just, like, see where that would go. And
the years passed, and mankind became stupider at a frightening rate.
So Fox, I still owed them. Part of my overall deal was to write 2 movies for them. So I'd done Office Space. And in order to do something else for anybody else, I needed to burn that one off. And I kind of thought no one would make it. I thought it'd just be fun to write. I'd just start from there, you know. This was, like, it was making me laugh. I just, after the Disneyland experience, I just started writing stuff down and ended up co-writing, getting someone to work with me, this guy, Eitan Cohen, and we got through a first draft pretty quickly and gave it to Fox, and then no one kind of wanted to make it, and I was like, well, okay, well, it wasn't going to be a huge budget, but it was going to be something. It was going to cost, you know, $23 million or something. And it just sat there, and I'm trying to remember how. And then Luke Wilson wanted to do it, and I was like, okay. Then I started to see it again. Then I went back and rewrote it kind of with him in mind and just rewrote it because it needed to be better anyway. And we had in the script this whole thing about the Starbucks. Because I remember actually driving on I-35. It was like something tan. It was a tanning salon. It said exotic tan for men. And I had no idea that tanning salons had turned into, you know, places or whatever it was. And so I was just talking to friends of mine and going, wow, I wonder what's next. I mean, is it going to be like Starbucks or what? And so we had that in the script. And when it was in pre-production, I was, you know, they run it by legal, and I'm going, man, I don't know how I'm going to come up with something better than the Starbucks thing. Because it's not funny if it's not a known place, you know. And so legal, an interesting thing happened. I mean, I don't know how this happened. But they said, they said no. And then they said, well, you know, I just said, so what, can it be satire? And they said, well, what would help us is if you didn't just pick on them, if it was a bunch of companies. And I was like, okay. So then that's how we ended up with that whole red light district in there in the movie where it's like, I think it's like H&R Block, adult tax return with release. And like there's like a Pollo Loco or Pollo Borracho adult chicken. I don't know. and then we just did everything. Costco, I don't know what happened. At some point, I'm sure somebody got really flipped out, but I was shielded from all that. A similar thing happened on Office Space, but Idiocracy, I've been getting so much love for it like in the last 2 years.
What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops.
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that's in there maybe is starting to happen, you know, now instead of 500 years from now when it's set.
And that's the Secretary of Education.
It's kind of stupid, but he's President Camacho's stepbrother. Still does a pretty good job, eh?
It was supposed to take place during a drought. It was the rainiest summer ever in Austin. We were just having to kill grass everywhere in the background. But they didn't really give it a release. There was a contractual obligation. They had to put it in like 12 theaters, and that's all they did, I think. In fact, if you called Movie Phone, they didn't even, it was listed under Untitled Mike Judge Project. They didn't even bother. It went straight from what it was on the contract to Movie Phone. They didn't even put Idiocracy in there.
Dwayne Elizondo Camacho, five-time Ultimate SmackDown champion, porn superstar, and president of the United States, had called a special summit with the smartest man in the world.
So you smart, huh?
You know.
I thought your head would be bigger. Could look like a peanut. Let's get you sworn in.
Well, I do know what they told me, which, and I finished the movie long, at least like, I want to say like 9 months before it came out. It was in the can. I'd finished the mix. I'd turned the whole thing in. What they told me was it didn't test very well, which a lot of movies don't. You know, Office Space didn't.
Whoa. I think I just figured something out, Beavis.
What?
This sucks.
Yeah, it really sucks.
This sucks more than anything that has ever sucked before.
The way movie testing works, they have these sheets, and it says excellent, very good, fair, and poor. For it to count at all, it has to be excellent or very good, I think. So if they say good, that's just a zero for you. So a lot of people, if it's a weird movie, they'll go, oh, it was good. They won't say very good. You know, so we would get like a 70% very good and excellent, which sounds, that's considered a horrible score.
I'm fixing to commensurate this trial here. We gonna see if we can't come up with a verdict up in here. Now,
why you think you done it?
Okay, number one, Your Honor. Just look at him.
He talks like a fine, too.
And B, we've got all this, like, evidence.
This is what I remember. They said, look, you know, it's... didn't test well. We can't. They made some horrible trailers for it, and I was glad they didn't put those out because they weren't very good. And then they just said, you know, look, we don't want to spend a lot of money promoting it, and they dumped the movie. But I mean, they said.
Why do you think that is?
When it came out, it got a lot. Maybe they were doing something right because it got a lot of attention. I didn't do any press for it. I ended up getting my picture in Time magazine without ever doing an interview. Because they were doing stories about, like, what's up with this movie? Why, you know, why are they putting it out in 12 theaters and not talking about it, not putting a title on it? And so it ended up getting some press. People liked it. But it's interesting, like, now, I mean, it's become, the term Idiocracy has become, there was a guy in the LA Times who wrote an article, like, a year ago about, and cited all the other articles that it's in, and I don't know, maybe just since it came out in 2006, everyone's gotten stupider. And
but Brando's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Visit Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When you're on the site, you can also tune in 24 hours a day to my daily radio broadcast. There's also a free iPhone app to listen to the syndicated radio show when and where you want.
Never fear, my fellow freedom lovers. The second hour is only minutes away.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'm Leanne McAdoo, and this is an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
People around the globe will assemble in protest against Monsanto's genetic manipulation of the food supply in a massive movement known as the March Against Monsanto. People who are fed up with Monsanto's monopoly are hoping that this march will bring global awareness to the company's diabolical reach.
Corporations like Monsanto, their goal basically is to take over our food supply. Most people are not aware that their food is highly contaminated. They trust the FDA, thinking that the FDA is protecting them, when in fact the FDA has sold them up the river.
Leading consumer advocate Jeffrey Smith has researched in depth the effects of GMOs.
The glyphosate, or active ingredient in Roundup, is linked to essentially every major Western disease on the rise due to diet. So from cancer, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, anxiety, aggression, anorexia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, autism, it's very, very dangerous. And it is unfortunately in high concentrations of these Roundup-ready crops, which is the vast majority of all GMOs that we eat.
Companies like Kashi, people think that Kashi has clean food. Kashi's GMO. A lot of their products have GMOs in them. And so we need to bring awareness to people on who to shop with, how to get clean food. If they can't afford to buy organic, they can work at farms and get their produce for free.
The founders of the grassroots group Food is Free Project are already working to teach local communities how to provide for themselves by coming together and growing their own food.
The Food is Free Project was kind of born out of the idea of planting a front yard garden. We realized by being out in our front yard, hands in the soil, we started to meet and engage with neighbors that were walking by with their dogs or whatnot. What if we lined a block in front yard gardens and got people, you know, connected?
We try to use as many salvage materials as possible. It just makes it a lot easier, you know. It doesn't have to be like a cost-intensive sort of thing to get started gardening on your own. Chickens are great, so save money on eggs and go through your compost and like turn it for you. They'll go through a field, like any spot where you want to be planting, and just having chickens there for a little while makes it like the soil's like really happy with it. Now, aquaponics is another really great way for people to grow their own food, be independent of the system, and like be like more self-sustaining. Mm-hmm. The really cool thing about this is that it's a soilless system, right? So this is just, it's expanded clay and pea gravel. You can grow vegetables and fruits. Down here we've got our fish. We've got goldfish. You could grow tilapia. We aren't eating these fish. We're just growing them for their nutrients. So it's fine to just have like a little goldfish. And you see here how it all pays off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming together to grow a community garden is absolutely an effective way to flip the bird to companies like Monsanto. But in the meantime, grocery stores will still remain the main provider of our food. Even so, you can have control over what you're eating by phoning your state rep.
But we want everybody to contact them demanding the overturn of the Monsanto Protection Act and to put in place a bill that requires labeling for all GMO products. If we could get the GMO labeling in place, when people are shopping and they see this seal that says contains GMO ingredients, they're going to be, well, wait, what is this? What am I eating?
Simply typing in your 5-digit zip code at whoismyrepresentative.com will immediately give you the phone number and website of your state representative.
Now, we think that when about 5% of U.S. shoppers avoid brands that contain GM ingredients, that would be sufficient to create a tipping point of consumer rejection, turning GMOs into a marketing liability and forcing the companies to abandon GM ingredients.
Being at home behind a computer screen, reading about, you know, the things Monsanto's doing to our, you know, our, the state of affairs in our world can be very disheartening and very paralyzing. So when we go out in the street and we meet people, you know, and we talk to them about our gardens and the things that we're doing and the things that we can do together, I think that's one of the most empowering moments that we can share when it comes to our food system and food sovereignty.
I'm Leanne McAdoo, and this has been an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Resist.
resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
We're now into the second hour. I know XM Channel 244 joins us and a lot of other AM and FM affiliates. We're going to be joined in the balance of the hour by John B. Wells, Saturday host and very popular host of Coast to Coast AM. And I love their whole team over there, but just amazing guy. And, of course, he's got a professional voice talent, one of the top voice talents in the country. So it's not hard on the ears like listening to my show. And we're going to be talking to him about all these scandals and more in a moment. But I've got to tell listeners, if you go up to Infowars.com right now, there is giant breaking news. The Army has come out, and it showed up in the U.S. Code that they're now saying they're outside of Congress and the president during any civil disturbance, widespread or localized civil disturbances. They're calling it a rule change and an instruction. Now, DOD is telling people now you can't have your plastic 3D printable gun. No law, no nothing. The DOD orders you, Cody Wilson, last week, do not do this. They are now, they call it an instruction, but it's now showed up in the U.S. Code. And they are, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it was bombshell, seismic, if you know world history and the Constitution, last year when the DOD in three different congressional hearings, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, including the Chairman Dempsey, told Congress, we don't need you for appropriations, we don't need you for war-making authority, or any response. We get that from NATO. It'd be bad enough if he said from the president, who does not make war, who they execute what Congress says, because you don't want a dictator. I mean, that's treason, red alert, insane, third world dictatorship, North Korea, you know, run screaming for the hills. I mean, if you try that in communist China, they arrest you. You know, I mean, it's at least got to be the big party group. I mean, this is dictatorship. Now, what Eisenhower warned of, the undue influence, whether sought or unsought, of the military-industrial complex, controlled by a technocratic scientific elite. That was the full quote. And folks, they're now saying the DOD, and they've been all over marking their territory, every town, every city, checkpoints, black helicopter raids, buying off police chiefs, Delta Force running free speech zones, beating people up in Seattle. I told an Esquire writer that he didn't believe me because he was there. He went and looked at him and goes, it's in all the newspapers at that time. I never heard that. Oh, really? You didn't hear that? I've interviewed the police chiefs, you know, 15 years ago of major cities like San Antonio, where Delta Force shows up and goes, we want you to be our friend. Here's $100,000. The police chief says, excuse me, I was in the Army in Vietnam in intelligence. Are you trying to, buy me in a clandestine operation? You're going to do a special forces operation on me to buy me to join you? And they said, we're sorry you feel that way. And it turned out he thought it was a test of loyalty. But he was still like, the Army shouldn't be involved. And then he found out, no. The mayor, the fire chief, they all took the money. What did the Vichy French do? They, for 5 years, Hitler quietly bought off 9 out of 10 of the general staff of the French military. The French just stood down. The Blitzkrieg was not even real. They went after the British Expeditionary Force that was there and ran them to Dunkirk. This is all mainline history. The French stood down. 2 weeks into the attack, Hitler went to Paris to survey it. Went to the Eiffel Tower, went to the tomb of Napoleon. And that's how they took over Iraq in 2003. They bought off the general staff, the Iraqis. 90%+ again stood down, same number. They bought them off. Then everybody down to privates got cash. Private, here's $5,000 for doing a good job. Captain, here's $50,000 for doing a good job. General, here's $5 million. They did that to corrupt everybody. America cares about you. We flew in $50 billion. We're going to serve it up to you. And then after that, they said, now you're going to run narcotics back into America, or we're going to report that $50,000 you got, Captain. The captain says, well, I didn't know you set me up. I'm not going to do that. Really? Can you talk to me in your office for a minute? Captain, get that file out for me. Boom! Right in the back of the head. Thousands of officers suicided. Boom! Yeah! Yeah! All on record. That all came out. That's what runs America. And now they've come out and said the military will do whatever it wants in America outside of the president and outside of Congress. And who runs the military? NATO. 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 That's why we've had guests on that you know really represent the Pentagon, saying stuff to Obama lately. that would just blew me away. That's what's going on here. And that's all crystallizing now, ladies and gentlemen. This country is in the middle of a power struggle over who gets to be dictator. I mean, we are in incredible trouble. John B. Wells, I appreciate you coming on. Keep you a little bit in the next hour if you can do it. Got you on a little bit late here. JBWells.com. He is the Saturday host of Coast to Coast AM.com. In addition to serving as an announcer for CBS, The Late Show with Craig Kilborn, Wells has lent his voice to Oliver Stone's JFK talk radio films and appeared in several other movies. I'm not going to go over his whole deal. The Deadliest Catch and Gold Rush. Love his voice. Love his mind even more. And he's just been kicking butt at Coast to Coast AM.com. He's got Caravan to Midnight.com. What a great name, as one of his other sites. And he joins us. You know, I just went into that breaking news, sir, and we'll get into all the other news. But what do you make of that John B. Wells tied into the billions of bullets, the armored vehicles, all of it?
I think this country, Alex, first of all, thank you very much for having me on the program. It's good to talk with you. I wish we could chat more often, simply because on your program, we pretty much get to let it all hang out, to use that term from the dinosaurs, the dinosaur age. But what do I make of it? I think this country is in a terrible state of denial. I really do. I think that John Lennon's song about keep them dope with religion and sex and TV, and you think you're so clever and classless and free, but you're still bleeping peasants, as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. And I think we've been doped with religion and sex and TV. And when I say religion, I don't mean faith. I mean religion. And we are... This is so beautifully orchestrated. Somebody, either there really is one great dark power that runs this earth, as is stated in the Holy Scriptures.
Oh, it's not human. No, exactly. The more I study it, it is a entity. It is. Call it whatever you want. A dark force is running this. And that's what I've come down to, is I'm facing this thing, and I just wish people knew how much peril they're in, John.
Well, the thing about it is, Alex, is what we have to remember is... the ones who get it, and the ones who don't get it are never going to get it. And that's just the cold, hard, harsh reality. We would like to think that we'll wake them up, we'll enlighten them, we'll rise up as one people, and we'll quell this evil, but a lot of people are just going to go right along with it. This is something that I find very interesting, not to stray too far away, because you ask a question, what do I make of all this? I think there's about to be a war against the civilian population, and I'll tell you why. Everywhere you go, if you look at every false flag operation through history, from the battleship Maine to the Lusitania to Pearl Harbor to the Gulf of Tonkin to 9/11, on and on and on, these false flags were all in furtherance of developing a warlike atmosphere. And what happens when you have a war going on? Well, the citizens die, the leaders largely are preserved, and it's business as usual. I mean, Germany was a highly sophisticated, still is, in those days, was a highly sophisticated society, music, literature, art, everything. And virtually the entire place was destroyed. Look at them now. They're the ones propping up the entire European Union. So people die, and business goes on. Which goes back to the scripture, and I don't want to turn this into a sermon, but it's like the love of money is the root of all evil. And this is all about money. And when you look at the money that has been made from these ongoing undeclared wars, such as Vietnam, Korea even, to a lesser extent, but still Korea as well, and now this ongoing war on terror, you can see that wherever there is chaos, you know that expression, follow the chaos. That's where the opportunity is. I'm thinking that the Middle East may be close to being tapped out. China and Russia got the oil deals. We didn't. It was all about oil in Iraq, but no, I don't think we got into the oil. We're still exporting oil. And I'm thinking the next big playground, the next big boom town, sorry about the pun, is going to be the U.S. I think that tearing down this society and then rebuilding it is going to mean big bucks for somebody.
You have found it, the front lines in the fight for liberty, not just here in the U.S., but worldwide. We'll be right back on the other side of this quick break.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Do you know why that was not done? There are exceptions to that rule. I do not know, however. Again, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. 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 That I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know whether or not. I just don't know. I don't know exactly how IRS is constructed. I don't know when the subpoena was issued. Well, I don't know precisely. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the specific questions. Now, again, I don't know what happened.
Well, either you know or you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know when. I don't know. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
All right.
I did not know. I don't know what you are going to ask me. I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I know nothing.
That's right. And that is Sergeant Schultz, Ozzy Osbourne, and the Attorney General all telling you, I know nothing, nothing. I tell you, it is really a crazy world. We are going back to our guest, who I hope can stay with us a little bit in the next hour and ride shotgun and take phone calls today. Amazing talk show host. Whenever I'm out driving around on Saturday night or then on Sunday night, because they re-air it locally the next night, I love to listen to John B. Wells. And he has a lot of courage, too, because I've been a guest on his show. He has a lot of other patriots on his broadcast, and it's just, you know, on over 500 affiliates. So he reaches probably every night 5 million people, 6 million people when he does the Saturday show. So it's just wonderful to have him there doing that. John, I'm ranting, and I got a bunch of news, obviously, to cover. Here it all is. IRS stalled conservatives groups getting 501c3 or others, but gave speedy approval to Obama foundations. Agency used planted questions to reveal scandal. Well, of course, I mean, in the Eastern Germany, you know, the party members decided which women could be stars and demanded sex from all of them. That's what having government run things is like. Absolutely not illegal is what the White House is now saying, the scum house. Is this still America? Charles Rangel outraged, wrong to abuse the tax system. In charge during Tea Party, targeting now runs IRS Obamacare office. Of course they're going to use your medical records and leak them to the press. They've already done that. IRS henchwoman got $103,000 in bonuses for raking people over the coals. That's the kind of stuff up on DrudgeReport.com. You know, spying on the media, spying on the cloakroom. It just goes on and on, what's going on. And then meanwhile, military says no presidential authorization needed to quell civil disturbances. That is the equivalent of a nuclear bomb going off in D.C. I mean, it's bad enough to say NATO's in charge. Now the military's in charge themselves, but they say they follow orders from NATO. That's a narcotics trafficking Bilderberg group, Nazi-founded organization. That's what I'm saying, man. We're overrun, and I'm ranting. You've got the floor.
Well, I wish I could rant like that. So I appreciate being able to do it by proxy, Alex. It's absolutely unbelievable. And the thing is that you know that thing about one bad apple can spoil the barrel?
Yes.
That's really true. The strident liberals, I mean, I get an email every once in a while going, you're just a right winger. It's like, given a choice between the right wing and the left, I am most assuredly a right winger. I heard McDermott today say in those hearings, as much as I don't like the right wing, and I thought to myself, well, McDermott, you have traditionally been an idiot, and I don't know how you remain in power. But I began to wonder, what is it about the right that you don't like exactly? They foment lies. That is their stock in trade. Oh, the Tea Party, that's a bunch of racists. I have seen no racism whatsoever, nothing at any of those gatherings of the Tea Partiers. Oh, they want to play it. And all they have to do is just going back to dear old Uncle Adolf, all you have to do is continue to beat that drum. And some of these people, enough of them to make a difference, are going to go along with it. But yes, we have been hijacked by a criminal regime. End of story. It's been visibly corrupt since the Kennedy assassination. But we're distracted. We're distracted with one war after another. What happened to North Korea? I put out over at Coast to Coast AM, I said, you know, my source, and it's a good one, and I cannot name him. You only have my word for it, but I've given it to you. There are things going on behind the scenes. You won't be hearing anything from I'm paraphrasing here. You won't be hearing much out of Kim Jong-un in the very near future. And what happened? He just drops right off the scope. And he's gone. Not another word about it. One minute he's threatening Austin, L.A., and every place else, threatening Japan and all that. The next minute he's gone. Well, why is that? It's because they pulled China pulled the chain on his money. That's what this is all about. This is all about money. And these people are going to soak the citizens of this nation for everything they can. Everything. They will disarm us if it comes down to it. They will pit the races against each other. And the liberals will continue to push this ridiculous immigration reform. You know what my immigration reform is? Go home. Now, all illegal aliens must leave now, just like any other country. You can't just come here and just decide, well, we like it here. All 11, they say 11 million. I'm thinking more like 30 million. Oh, we're going to run across the border and have a baby, and now the baby's a citizen, it's an anchor baby, we're here. That's just wrong. Why are they doing that?
Mexico doesn't let you do that. And again, the government's then there to try to make them clients of the government for the political takeover, and then they use it to create a national ID card for the citizens. Again, right. I mean, all these bills are piggybacked with a bunch of other garbage. And notice they're trying to get everything passed right now. And the military talks about massive, widespread disturbances that are so bad, for the first time in history, the president or the Congress may not be there to respond to it. During the Cold War, they didn't have this on the books. What do you think they're getting ready for?
Well, I still think this economic collapse, going back to the money thing, I think the money is the trigger for everything. I was just looking at this thing called The Trader's Wire, and it's the article is 10 scenes from the ongoing global economic collapse. 27% unemployment, 60% youth unemployment in Greece, Detroit and Michigan. Detroit, Michigan is insolvent, rapidly running out of cash. Economic despair in France, 7,000 abandoned buildings in Dayton, Ohio, overwhelmed by squatters in Spain, the collapse of Chinese power consumption, horrible economic data coming out of the second largest economy on the planet. That would be China. One out of every five U.S. households on food stamps, child hunger in America, the tremendous suffering of hundreds of millions of people, desperately poor people that we never even heard
cities
about.
Cities are going bankrupt all over the country, not just Detroit. And then you'll have city managers paid $800,000.
Yes. You know, Alex, I think what we should do is invoke that old radio bumper from back in the Stone Age, which is tell your friends about InfoWars. Tell your friends to wake up. Pull your friends into it. One person can pull, like you alluded to earlier, 10, 15 people, 10 or 15 of their friends into it. People thought that I was completely just, you know, looking for trouble, looking for some sort of a conspiracy somewhere. But over the last 3 years, there's a new little circle of friends that I developed. They're saying, you know, what you said actually came to pass. I said, oh, yes, and there's much more. Educate yourself. Don't listen. Don't repeat things like a parrot. Go to the net and go look for yourself.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're here live back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. with the Sunday show. InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time every weeknight. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We're taking phone calls right now in this open line third hour. And then we're going to continue to get into some other reports I haven't covered yet, like robbers shove homeowner in closet where he kept his guns. Important article up on InfoWars.com. You can also see a promo video for some of the other gun shows I'm producing. They're going to come out in June. I'm also going to be going to Bilderberg to cover that. That should be extremely interesting. They're now announcing a free speech zone where protesters will be allowed to be in a field on the thousands of acres the Grove owns inside the gate because they don't want you outside the gate where you can actually videotape the people. But they will have private security there doing TSA grope downs. No, thank you. I won't be going into their area. I'll be outside the gates there videotaping the globalists coming in. But that's how they work it. And everyone's like, oh, they're so gracious to do this. How wonderful. They're going to stick us out in the field where we can't see anything with private security treating us like we're criminals while globalist criminals meet in secret. But remember, now it's in the British press. They're meeting and they're going to have, you know, the feds and the military and private security out there for a group that doesn't have any power and that didn't exist before. In fact, we're going to your calls right now. But John B. Wells, again, Coast to Coast AM talk show host, Saturday nights. What do you make of the fact that global government didn't exist? Now they have to admit it and admit that it's authoritarian. The bullets didn't exist, but now they do. But we're still kooks thinking there's a nefarious reason. Or the armored tanks didn't exist for us, but now they do. And, oh, the army manuals for FEMA camps didn't exist, but, oh, now they do, but it's for a good reason. Or Bilderberg isn't real up until just 5-6 years ago. Now it's real, but we're bad to want to cover it. And yeah, Bill Gates is having a secret eugenics conference with world leaders, you know, this week as well. But the media doesn't need to cover that. Come on, kooks. You don't want to know what the guy that finances ABC News, NBC News, MSNBC. Now they say underwritten on the stories by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I mean, what would we do without them? John B. Wells.
They're treating us like we're stupid, and we are allowing them to continue to think that we're stupid because we do not, in sufficient numbers, call their sponsors, email their sponsors, mail their sponsors, and tell them, as long as you support this, we're not buying your stuff. It's like I like to say, Alex, if you want something to go away, quit buying it, whether it's a product, whether it's a program, or whether it's an ideology.
Vote with your feet, vote with your dollars. But that's one of the last big powers we have, and we're using it. Now I want to ask you about that. CNN, a year ago, its top show had 1 million viewers. Now it's 400,000. They are in free fall. They're all in free fall. Even Fox is getting smaller, but you know, it's falling down fast, but miles above them, to quote Helter Skelter. So you've got all this happening while the real media is exploding. How are they going to deal with that?
They're not going to deal with it. I really believe what is happening is that because of you and people who are in league together in preserving this constitutional republic, these morons keep talking about it's a democracy. No, it's not. Democracy is mob rule. This is a constitutional republic. You know, you're the tip of the spear, Alex. You really are. And I'm just happy to be part of the shaft, you know? But the people are waking up. And as they wake up and as they say, hey, isn't what you're doing illegal? Well, let's get a TV camera over here. Again, I go back to Fox. Fox News doesn't give me any money to talk about them. I criticized a Fox reporter by name who walked past a woman who, in fact, had been shot by during that, you know, when the cops wounded like 9 people up in New York City over this one guy that came out. And, she didn't see a bullet hole in the woman's body or did not see any blood running out of her. So she just walked past her. So I'm not in bed with Fox News at all. I just said that of the main news outlets, I prefer them vastly over the others. But the thing is that Fox News is the only one, as far as television is concerned, mainstream television, that was even covering any of the Benghazi stuff. They're the ones that were running the hearings today. They would stop for commercials. I don't know what they're doing now. I don't just stay glued to the TV, thank God. But people are waking up. And every time we say, you're doing something that's illegal, inevitably the response is, well, I don't know. I didn't know anything about that. I mean, they just let the guy go from the IRS who was going to leave anyway at the end of June is the last thing that I heard on it. So it's falling apart. It's falling down around their necks. And we have to keep the pressure up. Look at the furor that occurred over the gun grab that they attempted. These politicians figured out real quick, we're going to get thrown out of office next year if we go along with this. Now, I'm not saying that all politicians are rotten. There are a few of them up there that are, they're good people and they believe in this constitutional republic. But there are many others who are just going to take what they can get, feather their own nests, And to hell with the people. I mean, the people are just useful idiots. All we need is their vote. That's all. We don't need anything else. There are a lot of them up there that are like that. They just want the power. But it's wearing thin. I believe, Alex, we're going to win. I think we may get a little bit messy. We may even get a little bit bloody. But we're going to win. Look, we're all dead anyway. Everybody's going to check out of this world at some
time. Absolutely. It comes really quick. Doesn't it seem like 5 minutes ago that you were 10 years old?
Oh, absolutely. I remember my teen years like it was 2 weeks ago. But the thing is, don't you want to stand for something while you're alive? I mean, we all went through the SDR&R thing back when we were encouraged to behave that way. Many of us have. I was a rock and roll jock in Dallas, Texas. And believe me, there was access to all sorts of things that that are not good for you. But many of us have decided, you know, if we hadn't had the encouragement and pretty much the license to behave as we did, don't think we would have done it. But people get drunk on what little bit of power that they have. And power is good. Say, it's good to be king. Even if it's of just a tiny little kingdom, it's better than being, you know, the stable boy. People are people, and they're going to do what is in their best interest first. It takes a little bit of reaching down into the soul and saying, I can do this, but should I? What mark is it going to leave on me, on my character? What's going to be written in the book up there in the sky, metaphorically speaking?
Well, I use the gross analogy of a pool. You know, public pools have to have 10 times the chlorine in it, and they're unswimmable because everybody is peeing in it. And then I'll get up, if I'm at a public pool somewhere on a trip or something, and go to the restroom, and I notice no one else is doing it. I mean, why not stop? I mean, why not start actually doing the other thing in the pool? And it's like that when everybody starts screwing everybody, and then other people think that's how you get ahead, then everybody starts doing it. The society becomes North Korea or Mexico.
Well, yes, that's absolutely true. And to allow a cadre of anti, and when I say anti-American, what I mean is anti-constitutional republic, anti the only country that's ever existed in recorded history that had this kind of governance by the people, of and for the people, any cadre of people like this that are anti-American values is about like having a peeing section in the pool.
That's right, or something else. It's even worse. Like it's like putting the sewage, you know, the sewage pipe directly from the bathroom into the pool. And then who's the IRS go after? Those that quote teach the Constitution. That was actually in the Inspector General's. That the thing was, are they talking about the Constitution? It's like police manuals. They make frequent references to the Constitution, put them in the terror database. Cops, you swore to that, you idiot. And I know most of the cops aren't idiots and know that. It's just we're in so much trouble, man. It's so obvious the bad guys are the ones that demonize the founding documents.
Sure. Oh, old white guys, they call them. Who wants to listen to a bunch of old white guys? I mean, what is that?
We'll be right back after these quick messages with more of, well, me, Alex Jones, and John B. Wells.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Some financial news I want to hit. I want to play a piece of a newscast where robbers shove homeowner in closet where he kept his guns. Yeah, you don't want to shove me in my closet. Get in there. Get in the closet. Oh, really? In this closet right here where I've got like 8 handguns and a shotgun? Oh, okay, let me... This is terrible that you've locked me up in here. And then he shot him. And the media, the newscast is police are not going to be charging the homeowner. Always that implication. You know, if you stab somebody in your own home who's raping you, they then indict you. You've heard the stories here where the robber falls through the skylight, sues, and wins. You need to have robber-safe skylights up there so that they don't fall through and break their leg. And it's because criminals now run the system at many levels, and they want to be protected. It's like they've gotten rid of all the IRS enforcers on billionaires and people. That's why they're allowed to be tax exempt, because it's all selectively enforced. But you make $200,000 a year, oh, they're going to rake you over the coals. There's no way they've written the tax code. That's in the news today, where it's impossible. It's impossible to ever pay it where they can't later claim you did something wrong and give you penalties and interest. It's the whole thing. I was talking to a police detective the other day, and he said, look, here in Austin, he said, look, he goes, we're not allowed to go after the motorcycle gangs, the particular ones he was naming, because, you know, the government lets them run the drugs. The argument is, so the worst, you know, Mexican drug cartels that are even more ruthless don't control it. That's what Brzezinski writes about in a couple of his books I read. Yes, we control the criminal networks because then we can control it and not let it get too out of hand. I mean, that's always the excuse. We grow the opium so the Taliban doesn't get it. And then they increase it, you know, 10 times the production at least. Look that up. 93% of world opium production since the U.S. liberated Afghanistan from like 9% of world production. You know, he's sitting there telling me this, and I already knew all this, but I mean, I've talked to LAPD detectives. I even have been at events several times that had like the real, you hear about the legendary Vikings, the police gang out in L.A. Let me tell you, you're hanging around with the biggest Hollywood stars. That's who's around, folks. That's why those Hollywood stars are basically above the law, because it's all gangsterism. And the thing is, they're not naive. Then they're like, well, I don't like what we do, but, you know, if we didn't do it, somebody else would. It's like that argument. But then once you give into that, the sky's the limit. I'm going back to calls with Yote, Eric, Phil, and others. But what's your take on what I was just saying there? Because there's this argument of you guard the good by being more evil than the evil. Well, when you dance with the devil, he doesn't change. You change.
Well, as long as we're going to mention the devil is the master deceiver. So, of course, they've got to have some argument. That goes back to what I mentioned earlier about two lawyers go in and one of them walks out the loser. They're both equally qualified. I think the best way to address that, Alex, is just to say that I got some flack over this, which, of course, I'm delighted when I get flack from the left wing, because that means I tweaked them up, raised their blood pressure. And I like doing that. A quote from Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged when she was talking to one of the characters. There's a dialogue in the story, and the man said, "You're not up against a bunch of Boy Scouts up here. We want power, and we're going to get it. What's in it to have a law-abiding society? Nothing. A government can't control innocent men. So what you do is you continue to concoct laws and make everyone guilty of something, because the only thing that the state can do is come down and crush the criminal."
And then they leave escape hatches for themselves, and they're exempt.
Always, always. I think that some of these people up in Washington right now, names that we both know, I think they need to go to jail. I think they need their assets sealed. And I would just take this opportunity to say, people, take your power back. If you want to bring this nonsense to a halt, defund it. They can't do anything without money. You have a mercenary army now. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks about that. It's a fact. Did you see Jack Reacher? We used to read the great books and so forth, and we still do. But some of the script writers are very, very good. And
no, Reacher, I saw Reacher. That was a good movie.
You remember what he said when he's talking about the sniper? And he said, you know, some people join the army because they want to serve. Some of them kind of have to do it. They need a job. But some of them do it as a legal means of killing people. And so I would submit to you that there is a measurable percentage of persons in the force department. The first time they stopped calling them peace officers and stopped talking about law and order, and it became law enforcement. That was the first flag that was raised.
And the police force.
Yes, the police force. Not the police department, the police force. All you have to do to take the wind out of these sails is defund it.
Well, but they stage things or let things happen so they get more funding, and then they kick the good people out, because there are people that join because of family history. There are people that join because of an instinct to serve and defend, like Pat Tillman. There are people that join because they need the money. There are people that join because they want to be psychopaths and kill people. But there's also people, like I have family, that I knew 20 years ago when they joined the Army were one person, because I'd go hunting, fishing with them. And after, it's not even now, it's like Hurt Locker. They have been in so much combat, seen so many things, they're not awake till they get in a firefight. They're not awake till they come out of helicopters, you know, and all over the world. They're not awake till they're in a knife fight with somebody. They're not awake till they're stripping down an engine and fixing it real fast. They're not awake till they go climbing up a mountain. They're not awake till they get in a barroom fight. They're not awake till they, and the big thing is it's not even that they want, it's just they want to kill. But it's not just in a psychopathic way. They want to be being shot back at as well. So that group I can even halfway respect, but they're creatures of long-term, really post-traumatic stress disorder. But instead of collapsing in it, they thrive in it. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely, I do. And you had a story. You I think you were the first one with the story on InfoWars about the classification that Jen Napolitano has put on returning vets. So it's just like going back to scripture. That's what the devil does. If he can't get you a drug overdose and kill you, he'll settle for 5 years of hard time for intent to distribute. The evil dark force will use you on, they'll pin medals on you and they'll pat you on the back and tell you, great job, son. Great job, gal. And then as soon as your usefulness is spent, he'll just throw you under the bus, just bump you off. You're done. Next. That's what's going on now with these health issues. They don't want us living into our 80s and 90s or any of that. They want us. No. They want to extract about 30 years of productivity.
I've had the scientists on. They inject the troops on record with experimental vaccines that have virus plaques that embed in the cells that are designed to trigger when hormone levels go down. And then you get cancer 55, 60 when they're done with you. I mean, we're all being given time-delayed death bombs, basically.
Alex, if this thing is allowed to go as far as it could go, what you will have is the same way, is in the same way that I said, one of these days you're going to be looking, I understand Japan's already done it, actually. You'll be looking at a news anchor that you think is a real person, and it's not. It's a beautifully done computer.
They've already announced that. The president didn't just have robo-signers. They're saying next year they've already got it built. A 3D projection of Obama that they just type the words in and then he can appear anywhere to school kids, whatever, and they'll kind of think they saw Obama.
Well, some of these visionaries like Lucas and the Star Wars thing, there very well may be a war of the clone wars. Once they decide, we only want these people. We don't want that type. We don't want this body type. We don't want that appearance. We don't want that hair color. They can do that. Do you know that this thing that was science fiction maybe 10 years ago, which of course that means it's been investigated and experimented with for years. Now they're actually able to target races with fatal diseases.
Race-specific bioweapons, yeah. Expanding, they came out yesterday and went, oh, we can now clone. And then you read the fine print, because I remember reading it 16 years ago. 16 years ago in BBC, it was first admitted in London, they admitted clones of humans, but they go, it's okay, we don't bring them to term. And now they go, well, we bring them to term, but that's classify what we do, but they're part animal, so they don't have rights. So the shampoo says no bunny rabbits were tested on. You're like, oh, good. But then you understand there are humanoid creatures they brought to term. This is in the literature. But the news only, and again, this is getting into like, you know, regular coast-to-coast AM type stuff, but that's not speculation in the medical literature. And now they're going, these new clones can be brought to term. And they're telling us about 25, 30-year-old stuff, my friend.
Let me tell you, you go back to Anthony Burgess and you go back to the guy who wrote Clockwork Orange and another book he wrote called The Wanting Seed and all of these visionaries, Bradbury and Asimov and Heinlein. This is going to happen. I can imagine a futuristic a la science fiction a scenario where you have the power elite who remain at the peak of their physical development.
Oh, yeah. No, that's it. My fellow InfoWarriors, we have come to the end of this transmission. But I'll return tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, with a weekday show. I want everybody to have a fantastic and safe Memorial Day. And I want to thank all the veterans that have fought for liberty and stood by the Constitution and Bill of Rights on this Memorial Day coming up. So keep all of our veterans that are being neglected in your prayers and also try to support them.